meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. Welcome, Kathy. Welcome back, Michael and Jean. We're still waiting for Brian, who's expected, but we have a quorum, so we're going to proceed anyway. Welcome to the members of the public, city staff, and to Councilmember Edwards, who is our council liaison. We have a full agenda today. Actually, we have a meeting coming in after this, so we're going to be constrained to get this work done by 5 o'clock, no matter what. I'll do my best to keep us on task, so we'll need to work quickly and efficiently. Our first order of business is to select a chair and a vice chair. I'd be pleased to continue as your chair, subject to your approval, and suggest Michael, the other veteran on the committee, as its vice chair, subject to your approval. Are there any other nominations for these positions?
No.
Okay. Motion and second?
Second.
Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Vice Chair Peck?
Yes.
Committee Member Dorfman? Absent. Committee Member Johnson?
Aye.
Committee Member Hoverstein?
Yes.
Committee Member Woody?
Yes.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is announcements from the committee members. We do have several new people. Kathy, do you want to start and introduce yourselves to us and the public? Middle button.
Okay. Kathy Hoverstein. I've lived here for 40 years, and I believe I saw an ad in the paper for this position, and it is a fit for me, I think. So I chose to volunteer, and this obviously is my first meeting, so I'm going to try to be taking notes.
Thank you. Michael? Any comments or introductions?
Not my first time at the rodeo sitting here as a member of this committee. It's an honor to be sitting here amongst all of you here today. My name is Michael Aaron Woody. My family has been in the city of Morro Bay for God knows how many hundreds of years, and it goes on and on and on. I'm a professional civil engineer by trade. As far as what we're doing here today, can't express enough how important this is, what we do here in this in this particular chamber, although sometimes it's referred to as one of the most boring committees to be on, is actually probably one of the most important, definitely, because what we're doing here is giving to the community an ability to feel confident in their local government and what we're doing financially and taking care of their monies and making sure that we properly represent this entire community. So it is a real honor to be appointed to this board, and thank you.
Thank you. I'll echo Michael's comments. There are a lot of committees you can serve on, but if we don't solve the money problem, the rest of it doesn't matter. So as your chairman, I'll move the meeting along efficiently. I'm kind of known for always ending on time or early, so that's my first responsibility to you. You have other lives to live. So, Jean?
Yes, this is my first active meeting after having been to a couple inactive meetings, and very excited to serve. Tenure resident of Morro Bay, and committed to the ongoing sustainability and livability of this town.
Thank you. The first item on our agenda is a report from the director, Ms. Johnson-Rios.
Thank you, Chair Peck. I do have a few comments for you, but first and foremost, I'd like to introduce our council liaison and give her a few moments to introduce herself, Councilmember Cindy Edwards.
Hello. I'd like to thank all of you for your service, first and foremost. For Michael and Steve, and
thank you.
as a support unit for our staff in a collaborative way to ensure council has the information and facts we need to make the best decisions we can for our community. Providing clarity for you and your body of work is necessary. Understanding CFAC's responsibilities, looking beyond Measure Q and E expenditures and budgeting, but also in the ways that you were initially created to handle, will provide the council and the community we serve with a better understanding of the budget process. We have the opportunity now to create things like roundtable sessions that highlight the knowledge and the expertise of Sarah and her staff, but also allow space for open discussion and critical thinking among all participants. I want to end by saying thank you for having me here today, and there's a heavy lift for staff in the coming years, and we've got a lot of ongoing projects and new ones to come, and I think this fresh start is just what we needed, and I want to thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Edwards, and I did want to also introduce our interim city manager, Greg Carpenter.
Hi, folks. I've been here for about 2 months. You have a really unique and beautiful town here. I can understand why you live here and why you want to serve. The city is going through a process of hiring a permanent city manager. We hope to have someone on board in about 2 months. I'll be here with the city team for another 2 months through the budget process. I did want to take an opportunity to thank Sarah and her finance team and all the executives, as well as the council, for putting the draft budget together. It was quite a bit of work. I know it sounds kind of boring, but budgets actually are pretty exciting documents. They're a forecast, they're a plan, and they're also a real important disclosure document for the public, and which is, I think, where you folks come in. It's a long document. I think we're going to focus on sort of the high points tonight, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. And since we do have some new committee members, and we don't typically have a full staff cadre here, I do want to just very briefly introduce the staff that's here so that you know who's working for you and for the City Council and the community. We have Kelly Mattis, our Senior Admin Services Analyst. She plays the lead role in our budget development, and so she's especially critical today. Thank you, Kelly. And then we have our finance manager, Emily Conrad, who is responsible for accounting, financial reporting, utility billing, accounts payable, and the list goes on. And so she will come to CFAC as needed on occasion. And then we have Erica Castillo, who's on her first day with the City of Morro Bay today. You're among the first to meet our newest employee. Erica is our account clerk 3, and she'll be taking minutes for the CFAC meetings going forward. And then we do have an unusual attendance by some of our exec team members today. We have our Public Works Director, Greg Qualick, our Police Chief, Amy Watkins, and our Fire Chief, Dan McCrane, here today because their departments have budget in the Measure Q&E Fund, and we want them to be available for any questions that you may have. With that, thank you again to the new members for volunteering your time. And you do have a full agenda today before you. Very broadly, I wanted to echo Councilmember Edwards's comments. The scope of work that is before you is twofold. You do have a duty under the ordinance to review Measure Q&E expenditures at twice a year, actually, at mid-year, which you'll be doing today. And at year end. And then the council invites you to provide input on the Measure Q&E fund budget as well as the citywide budget, which you'll also be doing today. And in addition to that, the council goals process, which you'll hear a little bit about from Mr. Carpenter in a bit, outlines any one-time projects or additional initiatives, potentially roundtables and meetings with other advisory bodies, depending on those items that align with council's direction. And so it's a very dynamic scope of work, and we thank you for being willing to take it on. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item is public comment. Members of the audience wishing to address the CFAC on city business matters not on the agenda may do so at this time. For those desiring to speak on items on the agenda but who are unable to stay for that item may also address the CFAC at this time. You may also address them at the time when the agenda item is presented. Is there anybody who wishes to speak under public comment? Seeing none, we will move on to the next item, which is the consent calendar. The only item on our consent calendar is approval of minutes for the January 31st, 2023 Citizens Oversight Finance Advisory Committee special meeting. Has everyone had a chance to review those? Are there any modifications to the proposed minutes? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Clerk, call the roll, please.
Chair Peck?
Yes.
Vice Chair Woody?
Yes.
Member Hoverston?
I wouldn't think I could vote because I wasn't here.
Abstain. And Member Johnson?
I'll also abstain by not having been participating in that.
It's actually up to the committee members. If you would like, you are able to vote on that to pass the minutes.
If you saw the recording.
Yes, I did see. Okay, yes.
Thank you.
So you're an affirmative vote?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Our first item of business is the review and approval of the semi-annual report of 22-23 Q&E expenditures. As the assistant city manager has mentioned, our responsibility here is to review and approve the report as submitted by staff or to make comments to the city council for items that are not consistent with the approved expenditures. Interestingly, I went back when Q was first started, and there's quite a bit of back and forth between this committee and the council about things that shouldn't be in there. I think the report has settled down a lot and was, in my opinion, very professionally done. But our responsibility today is to review and approve, take an actual action on it. So with that, staff report by Ms. Johnson-Rios.
Thank you, Chair Peck. And I'll keep this one brief because I think you'd like to preserve as much time as possible for the budget item. And as you mentioned, these are backward-looking reports. These are expenditures for the period of July 1st, 2022, through December 31st, 2022. And this was brought to CFAC in February. That was the meeting for which we didn't have a quorum, so it was continued to today's meeting. Typically, you'll review these in February of each year. And I'll ask Ms. Mattis to try to pull up our slide deck here. I think it's coming. I see it thinking. Okay. So these are in the staff report as well, and I know they may be hard to read here, but I do like to start each of these presentations with a reminder of the council-directed priorities for the expenditure of Q&E funds. I'll highlight them verbally in a moment. As Chair Peck mentioned, these council priorities were crafted after much discussion with the community and the council. They looked at the ballot measure language back in 2006 when Measure Q was passed, and then in 2020 when Measure E was passed. The tax is administered as 1.5% tax by the state of California. And so council in early 2021, working with CFAC, went through the process of distilling that language and coming up with these four priorities. The city council could modify these priorities at any time, but these priorities are the priorities that we are working under. And so CFAC's role is to ensure that the expenditures are consistent with these four council-directed priorities. So the first is to maintain public safety services by funding a variety of items listed here, including staff positions and equipment necessary to maintain public safety services. The second priority is to maintain or enhance cleanliness and safety of public spaces. And it includes which spaces, you know, that may entail, including personnel to help maintain that cleanliness and safety of public spaces. The third priority is to invest in infrastructure and equipment, such as street paving, storm drains, and vehicle replacements that support city services. And this also may include increasing capacity to implement the backlog of capital projects. And I'm spending time on this because it's relevant to your second agenda item today, too. And then finally, ensuring the financial health of the city by maintaining appropriate reserves to protect against economic downturns. So those are the priorities for Measure Q and E funds. And these numbers, as I mentioned, they're through December 31st. I'm just going to highlight the high points, and we can go back and get into details if you have any questions. Basically, at mid-year, the fund was on track with where we would expect it to be at that time. Sales tax revenues are about 60 days delayed from when they're actually received. And so this represents 4 months out of the 12-month fiscal year, and we were at 37%. So just slightly higher than what we would have anticipated, actually. I learned, you know, we've learned since then that in the winter our sales tax revenue has moderated and started, the growth has started to level off. So that positive news early in the year is good. Total expenditures were right on track at about 51% halfway through the year. And when this was going to come to CFAC in February, we were going to seek CFAC's input regarding $122,000 of mid-year budget changes. Absent CFAC's input, we did take those to council later in February, and those were approved by City Council, so those have been incorporated into the Measure Q&E Fund 22-23 fiscal year budget. And this just outlines by department where we were as of December 31st, 2022. Some departments had spent more than 50%. Some had spent less. Some of this is just anomalous timing of one-time projects, and so that's detailed in the staff report. This chart outlines the $123,000 of budget changes that were made by City Council and are now included in the fiscal year budget. And this represents less than 3% of the total budget, so relatively small changes overall. The capital budget for 22-23, this is a reminder that $2.5 million was allocated to these six projects in 22-23, and CFAC at a prior meeting had requested an update on the status of these capital projects, so that was included in the staff report, and these charts are here for reference if needed, but they're more viewable in your staff report packet, and so the this was last updated in February 15th, and so we may have some updated information for you today if there are questions on those. And that concludes the presentation. Available for any questions.
Thank you, Sarah. Any questions from the committee? I have several questions. One had to do with the PERS unfunded liability line item that is in each department. In the past, I remember there were kind of separate contributions to that to pay that down. Is this a routine item that gets charged against each activity or each budget as part of the city budgeting process, and that's simply our share of that?
That's correct.
Okay. The second question had to do with some fire overtime when our crews went outside the city, and I think the request of Q&E at the time was to cover some overtime that needed to be covered subject to reimbursement by OES or somebody outside. Was Q&E going to be reimbursed, or can you explain kind of, am I remembering that right, and what are the mechanics involved there?
Good question. So citywide, that is correct. Citywide, we have our fire department is still largely budgeted in the general fund, with a few positions now budgeted in the Q&E fund. You know, it could be that members of the fire department who are budgeted in the Q&E fund get deployed on mutual aid. It is also true that members of the fire department who were budgeted in the general fund get deployed on mutual aid. We have not yet taken a step to reimburse Measure Q and E or to analyze which portion of overtime is associated with mutual aid deployments. We've actually been talking internally about ways to track that more specifically, even just for other uses, so we have a better sense of what portion of our overtime is related to just covering service in Morro Bay,
right,
absent any mutual aid, and then what portion is attributable to mutual aid. If we did get more specific at the tracking administrative level, then we would be able to identify Measure Q and E funded positions specifically that were deployed on mutual aid.
Right, thank you. And my third question had to do about capital funding, the interfund transfers. By way of example, if we are budgeting for $4 million of Q&E money, $1 million of that is capital, do we fund the capital in proportion to the actual receipts, or is that money kind of swept from reserves, just in terms of the mechanics of how that gets funded over the budget year?
Good question. We don't wait for the money to come in to appropriate it to a capital project. And the reason for that is because typically with a capital project, we would need to be awarding, you know, contracts for design and construction. And so it would require us to essentially wait a fiscal year if we were to wait for the full revenue amount to be received before appropriating that to a capital project.
And the reason for my comment on that is that I think we had a little over $4 million in revenue this past year and $5.1 million of expense because we were always in surplus. Mm-hmm. That doesn't appear to be the case in the future. So I think we just need to be cautious that we're not sitting on a cushion where we can transfer that money. And if we end up short, do we end up funding capital or we end up not funding public safety? Mm-hmm. So I just want to be conscious of the fact that we don't have that luxury of a significant carryover from year to year anymore.
Yep.
No questions by...
I have a question.
Kathy.
I know this report's only through December 31st, and I was thinking about all the flooding that happened and assuming that there's quite a few costs that were involved with that. Is it somehow decided that some of the extra costs come through Measures Q and E, or how does it get split up between the various factions?
Good question. We have contemplated using general fund emergency reserves, and actually at mid-year in February, Council appropriated some roughly $1.8 million of general fund dollars for general fund and water and sewer dollars collectively for storm recovery work. And in the proposed 23-24 budget that you're going to see, we are relying on those funds as well. And so while Measure Q and E funds can be spent within that prioritization on capital projects such as storm drains and street pavement, there may be some scope, you know, of some of those storm drain and pavement projects that may be addressing infrastructure that was damaged by storms, but our storm recovery projects, by and large, are just using general fund dollars.
Okay.
Yeah, specifically on the ADA accessibility upgrades at Quintana and Main Street intersection. I've had a couple of people ask me about that, and I've gone through that intersection numerous times in the morning with a good pair of running shoes on. Exactly what's being done at that intersection for improvements so that way I can relay this to people out there in the community correctly?
I think our public works team can answer that for us.
Sorry to pull this up.
City Engineer Eric Riddio. I didn't get a chance to introduce him earlier.
Good afternoon. Eric Riddio, City Engineer.
Sure.
That project is still very early.
Okay.
As far as what's been scoped, we did receive funding from CDBG mm-hmm. for some audible push buttons. Since then, the city did apply for a SLOCOG Community Betterments Grant and was awarded late last year, and it has expanded the scope of the project, and that was about $470,000 from SLOCOG. So we have not issued an RFP for design yet, but that is certainly next. Is it going to be just signal improvements, or are we going to add the scope as far as full ADA, so curb ramps and looking at pedestrian accessibility, integration with the bike path as well,
okay.
Possibly looking at a signal phase that would tie into the bike path. So those are some of the things we're discussing, and we're going to be putting in the scope of work for the RFP.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, because I know that sometimes that intersection gets tricky when you're on foot out there. So, yeah, so the work on that's greatly appreciated. But, and ballpark, when would you anticipate a project like this being completed? And I know the answer is you put a date on the table, and then all of a sudden you find out we got a bump at 3 months or something like that. So put me in a ballpark of where this is going from a time standpoint.
So we were hoping to,
there you go.
I mean, the flooding and all of these concerns have certainly not have kind of compounded the time that we're able to move the project forward, but we're hoping to be under design by the end of the year and then probably within a year in construction. So
into the calendar year or fiscal year?
End of the calendar year for definitely being under design. So my hope would be to have an RFP out by the summer and then be under contract with a design engineer late summer, early fall, so that we can have possibly 100% design documents ready for the following summer,
right,
and be under construction. We do have a timely use of funds deadline with SLOCOG. I believe it's 2025, but they might start getting a little antsy if we're not under construction by next year sometime.
Okay.
Welcome, Brian.
Thanks. Sorry
for running. Yeah. Any other questions from the committee? There's no agenda correspondence on this matter that I'm aware of. Public testimony on this matter. Seeing none, AGP, anybody in the queue?
Thank you so much. Currently, let me double check. Just a moment. I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. Any final committee discussion on the matter? I'll entertain a motion to approve or the report submitted by staff.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Clerk, call the roll.
Chair Peck?
Yes.
Vice Chair Woody?
Yes.
Member Hoverston?
Yes.
Member Johnson?
Yes.
Member Dorfman?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Our second item of business is to review and approval of the proposed expenditures for 2023-24. Although this is listed as one business item, I'm going to suggest we take these as two separate items and first consider the Q&E expenses. Those are one of our primary responsibilities, and then hopefully put together a collective recommendation to council on that matter. And as a second item under that business item, to review the remainder of the proposed budget, which may not be the same level of detail, but you know, could be a collective recommendation, or it could simply be individual member comments, which is what we've done in the past. Is that an acceptable approach? Thank you. Staff report by Ms. Johnson-Rios.
Thank you, Chair Peck. And if I could ask a clarifying question, I do have the presentation broken down into a citywide portion and a Q&E portion. Would you like me to start with?
However you can get through it best. Yeah, so up to you.
Okay.
If you can focus on do it the way it's presented.
Okay, I was planning to start with the citywide to give you some context, but I'll go through that as quickly as possible, and we can come back to that with any questions.
Sure.
And I'll try to spend a little more time on the Q&A.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to have our interim city manager, Greg Carpenter, kick this off for us.
All right. Well, we started this year's budget process with strategic planning. And you know, that makes a lot of sense because it's an opportunity to get input from staff, from the community, and from the city council, and refocus on where we want to focus our efforts in the coming years. And the allocation of resources, both staff time and then dollars through the budget process, is real important to that process. So we did a community survey. We surveyed the boards and advisory groups. We sort of city staff, the council. We had several working sessions, and out of those sessions and from the community input, the city council decided to focus on four major goal areas for the next 2 years. And I'll go through those goals and then tell you some of the major objectives in each of those goal areas. But the four goals were focus on public infrastructure, economic vitality, housing and homeless response, and then finally community engagement. So under the first, public infrastructure, what we heard loud and clear was that the public really wants us to address our streets, our sidewalks. In some cases, we had failing storm drains. We have issues with sewer and water lines, really quite a bit of both storm-related but also just age-related infrastructure work to do. One other thing we want to take a look at as an objective under public infrastructure is updating the development impact fee. Those are the fees that developers pay to offset the impacts they're going to have on city infrastructure. And I raise that one because that may be an area where the council asks for CFAC assistance as that study develops. The third sort of major area is storm recovery. Again, that affects our streets, our storm drains, buildings in some cases. And then one other objective under this goal is an update of this building that we're sitting in currently to improve it, improve its functionality, improve its image as it represents the city. Under economic vitality, focuses on economic development efforts, including looking at a strategy, developing a strategy, and looking at the best use long-term of all the city-owned properties, and the way that city-owned properties are managed and leased. Developing a paid parking program was also an area that council wants us to look at in the coming year for the Embarcadero, potentially the Rock area. Under housing and homelessness response, major objectives there include looking at and identifying locations for housing development, and potentially a location for a small homeless shelter in the city. Cooperating with our regional partners in their housing plans and homelessness plans, and also improving the permitting process and looking at potential ways to streamline development standards in the city to encourage more and more expeditious development. And finally, under the community engagement goal, some major objectives for coming years there include leveraging partnerships with community organizations, with boards and commissions like this one, a historic preservation ordinance, taking a look at that, and potentially implementing a preservation of historic buildings in the city to help preserve them and also tell the story of the history of the city. And finally, developing and implementing an official communications plan and bringing on board some expertise in that area to help the city better communicate with the businesses and residents. So based on that strategic plan, those objectives, we then move forward with adopting a draft budget that really focuses the available resources in those four major areas. Ms. Rios is going to give us an overview of what the city's current financial situation is looking, or our future financial situation is looking like, and then the high points of the proposed budget.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. So the fiscal year 23-24 budget, which goes from July 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2024, the expenditure budget totals $56.1 million. When we say net of or excluding transfers, that means we're not counting any of the money that gets appropriated to be moved into another fund. Primarily, that's when operating funds move money to capital funds to be spent on capital projects. So that $56 million is comprised of $36.6 million for the operating budget. That means all the services that the city provides and the programs, et cetera. And then $19.5 million is our capital proposed capital budget. And that's a pretty significant capital budget for an operating budget of that size. And I'll talk more about that in a bit. That's a 3.5% expenditure increase from the 22-23 budget overall. And then on the revenue side, our proposed budget totals $45.9 million, which is a decrease of 1%. That's largely due to the end of the federal COVID relief money. So the difference between the revenue and expenditures is available fund balance in various funds, water and sewer largely, that we're utilizing for capital projects. And those are one time. And so a bit about where the city's money comes from. 47%, almost half of our citywide revenues come from current services. These include water rates, sewer rates, fees for service like recreation programs, planning fees, and basically a variety of fees that individuals pay for specific services. The other largest portions, which you can see in the kind of blue, gold, and orange colors here, are from tax revenue. So almost 15.5% comes from sales and use tax. That includes the Measure E and Measure Q funds, and also our base Bradley Burns sales tax, which goes into the general fund. Property taxes represents the next largest share at 11.5%. And then transient occupancy tax, which is the 10% portion of the tax that gets paid during visitor stays of less than 30 days, that represents 9.5% of the city's revenues. And there are a number of smaller revenue types outlined here. Another way to look at this is revenue by fund. So the general fund is the city's flexible, unrestricted funding source that accounts for 44% of the city's revenues. And then the next largest sources are the water and sewer funds. And you can see here that the Measure Q&E fund is representing now almost 9% of the city's citywide budget. So it's a growing percentage, and it's certainly helping the city to maintain our ongoing services and the ability to start funding some capital needs. So looking at the expenditures, it's a pretty similar pie. The water and sewer funds are a little larger in this chart than in the chart before because that's accounting for some of those transfers to be spent on capital. So that that reflects the use of some of those one-time funds for capital in the fiscal year 23-24 budget. And then another view is to look at this by department, and this is including all funds. So that's why the Public Works Department in this chart is the largest, because they're providing water and sewer services as well as the general and Q&E funded services, including administration, engineering, maintenance, et cetera. And then police is the next largest departmental budget at 15.5% of the city's expenditures. And then fire is the next largest at 11%. And then the other administrative and community development departments represent, and harbor department represent 6% or less each. We are recommending adding 2.4 full-time positions. This actually also includes some actions that council took at the end of February or the end of fiscal year 22-23 to add a Harbor Patrol officer and a part-time homeless outreach coordinator. New in 23-24, we are proposing adding one full-time firefighter position to be offset by eliminating three reserve firefighter positions. And then finally, the addition of a proposed senior civil engineer position to help deliver the capital projects. We've fortunately been able to fund more capital work. We haven't yet caught up with the staff capacity to deliver that work, and the Public Works team can provide more information on that if you're interested. And then our part-time staffing, so those are the city's full-time staff members. Our part-time staffing, we are recommending adding, as I mentioned, the half-time homeless outreach coordinator was added at the end of 22-23, so that will show up in 23-24, and also a part-time police reserve officer to help the department maintain adequate staffing and coverage. And then there are some smaller, much smaller changes administratively throughout the city for a total of 1.8 FTE equivalent positions on the part-time staffing list. The other personnel item to note citywide is that the city, like most cities in California, faces some challenges in paying for what's called the unfunded liability portion of the CalPERS obligation, and we could have a whole session on this. And in fact, CFAC has had several sessions on CalPERS, and we can revisit that as needed. But the long story short is that the city's expenses are going to increase as this chart shows over the next decade, and so the city has taken and is continuing to take many steps to prepare for that. So this proposed budget recommends allocating $1.1 million in addition to $1.1 million allocated in the prior year budget to put aside in a pension trust fund to help us essentially make those increased payments in the out years without having to hopefully reduce services anywhere in the city at that time. We can talk more about that if you have questions. The budget also presents a one-year CIP plan, and this one-year plan is the funding that council is actually considering approving in this year. We also present a multi-year plan, but they're just approving budget for the first year. That represents $19.5 million for 31 projects, and I've highlighted some of the larger chunks here. The $6.8 million for WARF, this is not in addition to the project budget. This just represents the ongoing planned expenditures for this project. And then we have sewer main replacement projects, a variety of smaller sewer projects, a handful of smaller water projects, and then fortunately we're able to invest another $2.1 million in road repaving in addition to the roughly $2 million that was invested in 22-23. And then to the storm recovery question, this budget recommends about $1.9 million in additional storm recovery funding. There are still questions around, you know, exactly how much the city's going to need to expend on full storm recovery and how much we may be eligible to get reimbursed by FEMA and our insurance, et cetera. So that may be an area where, you know, we need to go back to council during the fiscal year to as we learn more. But this budget includes some placeholders in there as staff moves forward with that work. And then finally, this $0.8 million that is recommended for the 141 intersection is actually not Q&E funds this year. We have some developer impact fee funding that is eligible to be used on that project, and in fact some funding that is specifically required to be used on that project. That's what comprises that $0.8 million there, and then a number of smaller projects that represent that 31. I won't spend too much time on this because the multi-year plan, which you can review in detail on the budget, is a point-in-time snapshot of what we know today about our capital needs and our plans for the next 5 years. The city is also undergoing capital needs assessments to better inform us and the community on the full scope of capital needs, and that is also an area referring back to the council goals, where when we have that information, we would be, council would likely be seeking CFAC's input on how to best finance those. We've been basically paying pay-as-you-go for our capital needs, with the exception of the water reclamation facility project, which we've got low-interest loans for. And we may need to, you know, evaluate whether we have the ability to do some debt financing for capital, but that would be down the road once we have a better understanding of what the priority projects are and the full range of costs. So the reason we're showing these numbers here is because they actually do get put into our five-year forecasts that are presented in the budget. So that's the consistent thread there. The multi-year CIP plan feeds into those those five-year forecasts, and it'll be updated annually as we get better information about those capital needs. So the next piece, and I'll go through these quickly, and then we can come back to them if needed, is our five-year forecast, just so you have a context for your discussion about the budget. These forecast assumptions, I'll just talk through big picture. Our revenues are actually leveling off. Our revenue growth is slowing. The city had very fortunate, double-digit revenue growth in some categories coming out of the pandemic. And we have been able to use some of that one-time money for some of these capital projects. We are projecting that revenue growth to really level off to more of our baseline growth, which is kind of in the 2 to 4% range. And what you're seeing here is, you know, middling around 3% for most of our key revenue sources. On the expenditure side, we're expecting expenditures to grow faster than revenues are growing, which is a challenge. The city, like all of us as individuals, is, you know, impacted by inflation. It costs us more to maintain the current level of services when things get more expensive. And that's what we're seeing. The construction cost index specifically has, you know, increased faster than even just inflation on general consumer goods, and that makes it more challenging to deliver these capital projects as they keep getting more expensive. So we can go into any individual assumptions if you'd like, but that is resulting in these forecasts that I'll briefly mention here. The general fund is in good shape this year. We actually have that one-time available fund balance to use for a number of one-time payments, transferring back to our general fund emergency reserve to make that whole, to meet council's minimum reserve policy of 33% of general fund and Measure Q and E operating expenses. That gets saved in case we need it for something like a storm emergency or a pandemic, for example. And then this year, the proposed budget recommends $1.1 million in general fund allocations to CIPs. Going forward, what this forecast shows is that we can maintain an operating surplus, but we're not able to fund the capital needs that are built into the five-year plan. And so I'll show you a couple different views of that. For Q&E, we show this differently visually because there is no reserve policy specific to Q&E, and so we do utilize the full fund balance each year for the next year's expenditures. So given the five-year CIP assumptions, that's the negative line you're seeing at the bottom, the fund would not be able to fully fund, for example, that $2.8 million that we know we need to put into annual pavement each year to maintain our pavement condition index. And this is maybe a clearer view of the city's general fund and Q&E fund capital needs. In other words, our non-utilities capital needs, represented by the purple dotted line, and the projected funding available for that capital in orange. And so, as our revenues may grow slower than our expenditures, that leaves a smaller number for capital in the out years. This is a relatively conservative forecast, like most public sector forecasts you'll see, because we certainly, want to be prudent and not, to the Chair Peck's point earlier, we don't want to be overzealous in our revenue assumptions. So it's certainly possible that we could outperform on the revenue side, certainly possible that we could constrain on the expenditure side, and either of those would improve this, but this is where we are at today. Harbor Fund, so we do these forecasts for the five major funds. And so the general fund, the Measure Q&E fund, harbor, water, and sewer, because they account for 90% of the city's financial activity, just those five major funds. The harbor fund is also able to maintain an operating surplus barely in the five-year forecast period. And a piece of that is because of the funding that's now covered by Measure Q&E. It's hovering between $200,000 and $300,000 a year that actually goes towards helping pay for Harbor Department activities. Without that, the fund would not have an operating surplus. However, we know that there are significant capital needs in the harbor, and those are being assessed right now as well, and we'll certainly have a challenge funding those. Similar story for the water and sewer funds. They are able to maintain an operating surplus in the 5-year forecast period. They're not able to continue meeting capital needs during the forecast period at the current revenue levels. And these are our baseline forecasts, so they're not assuming any rate increases, and that's what you're seeing over time, with no revenue increases and with, you know, ongoing expenditure increases just to deliver the core services, the fund's capacity to do capital will be further and further constrained absent any other action. And same story on the water fund side. We would never let a fund actually go negative. What that means is that we wouldn't be able to do those capital projects in the out years. On a positive note, we do expect to have citywide about $14.5 million in reserves at the end of fiscal year 23-24 if this budget is approved as proposed. That would put us in a place where we are meeting, as I mentioned, the Council's General Fund Emergency Reserve Policy, and we are meeting all of the reserve policies. The Council has several different reserve policies for all of these different funds. We would be meeting all of them. And citywide, that would equate to reserves of about 40% of the citywide operating budget for 23-24. There are restricted sources and uses in there, so that's not a perfect comparison, but I just provide that as a barometer in terms of, you know, the reason we have reserves is, of course, to be able to keep the lights on and keep providing services in the event of an emergency. And so that gives you a sense of where the city is at. This is my last citywide slide. So key takeaways, you know, as I mentioned, our strong post-pandemic recovery is leveling off now. Measure E is certainly helping us maintain services. It's helping us start to take a bite at the apple of capital needs. It's not sufficient to fund all of our capital needs. Storm recovery expenses, unfortunately, is sort of a curveball, and it's taking money away from some of the other capital plans that we had. And as I mentioned, our expenditures are growing faster than our revenues are growing, which is a challenge for cities throughout California and likely throughout the nation at this time. You know, the news is changing daily on what people are projecting in terms of potential recession. We don't know for sure what level of economic cooling we're going to experience, and that's where those reserves are important as well. We do have the pension challenges on the horizon that we're actively preparing for, but those are out there. And, you know, we are continuing to apply for grant funding and various one-time revenue sources, but we are also going to continue to need to evaluate ongoing revenue sources as the council is, you know, describing in some of their economic vitality action items. So that's a very quick and high-level summary. Thank you for listening on citywide. And then I do have some more details for you on Q&E. Would you like me to proceed?
Please.
Okay. And so for the new committee members, I just wanted to, you know, give a sort of a primer. Revenues are all accounted for in the Measure Q&E fund. So all of that 1.5% sales tax goes into a separate fund. It's not in the general fund. It's in the Measure Q&E fund. And then our operating costs are also budgeted and posted in that Measure Q&E fund. The capital projects that are funded by Measure Q&E, those are actually transferred to our general capital project fund, which is the 915 fund, if you want to reference it in the budget document. And the reason we put the capital funds in a separate fund is because there's often multiple funding sources for a project. And so the general fund may fund a piece and the Q&E may fund a piece. And then we can have an easier way to report on the status of the general government capital projects. So you'll see an interfund transfer number in the Measure Q&E fund, and that's what that's for. I don't need to go over these four priorities again because we addressed them in the last item, but they guide our budget development for the Q&E fund. And so what we're projecting for 23-24 is $4.6 million in revenues. That's roughly flat from last year. And I just actually spoke with our sales tax folks, HDL, again this morning. They are maintaining that flat projection for 23-24. They think that revenues will continue to return to baseline, about 2.5% growth they're expecting in 24-25, maybe 3% growth annually by 25-26. And so that was good to get, I mean, well, good and bad, but we got that confirmed today that this 4.6 million number is still our best target for this fund. We are recommending $5.7 million in expenditure budget, and the difference there is coming from fund balance. And so, again, we're using that post-COVID recovery money, basically the high growth in sales tax for the last 2 years to help us fund some one-time capital needs. So $3.4 million is recommended for operating and $2.3 million for capital projects, which we'll jump into. I just addressed this. And then there have been questions from CFAC in the past about if we're just taking HDL's number at face value or how we handle that. This number is based on about 95% of HDL's revenue projection. And so it's slightly conservative, but not overly conservative. We don't want to leave a lot of money on the table, but we don't want to, miss our revenue target. So that's the methodology for that. And they provide statewide forecasts, and I think they came and gave a presentation to CFAC at the October meeting, which would probably be a good recording to watch for those of you who are new and are interested to learn all about the ins and outs of where this revenue comes from, how it's different from our general Bradley Byrne sales tax, and how HDL does statewide sales tax revenue projections that inform our budget. So I'm going to breeze through this one and jump into the details, basically. We have this is essentially how the pie breaks down by department, and I'll go into each department in a moment. The largest non-departmental piece is the capital piece. So that's that green, light green piece of the pie is about $2.3 million in recommended capital expenditures and about less than $100,000 in IT equipment and services that are required to provide the other ongoing services. And then you can see public works, fire, police have, between 15 and 20% of the Measure Q&E operating budget, and Harbor has a smaller share at about 6%. So I've highlighted in blue here, and these are also outlined in detail in the budget document, I've highlighted changes for 23-24, and I'm just going to focus on those. We can go back to the rest of it if you'd like to in Q&A. So for the police department, new for fiscal year 24 is a proposed part-time reserve police officer. And the chief can speak to more specifically how this helps the department maintain their staffing coverage and a bit of coverage without the full cost of a full-time officer. And there are two unmarked police vehicles, which is a one-time expense recommended here. She can remember the numbers probably, but I think these have 100,000 miles or more on them. They're overdue for replacement, and they've exceeded their useful life. There's some one-time $19,000 for some equipment that the police department is requesting, and then everything else is ongoing expenditures that have been budgeted in the Q&E fund in prior years. In the fire department, as I mentioned already, the proposed budget recommends adding one new firefighter paramedic position and eliminating three of the reserve firefighter positions. So there's a significant cost savings there. There's also some cost savings from overtime. So, excuse me, that helps offset the cost of the new position by reducing the budget in those other areas. And that helps the department maintain their minimum staffing standard of four staff members on duty, and Chief McCrane can give you more details if you're interested in that. The Public Works Department... Water, sewer, and harbor funds, because that position is anticipated to work on a variety of projects for those enterprise funds. So not a very significant cost for the Q&E fund, but certainly something that is needed to help deliver those capital projects that we're recommending. And then on the supplies and services side, there are a number of new items in 23-24, including a pavement rating contract, city facilities repairs, plumbing repairs in the fire department. That's actually a reappropriation of money that won't be spent in 22-23, so that money will be saved in 22-23 and is recommended to be budgeted in 23-24. And then the larger dollars are for sidewalk curb repairs, storm drain repairs, and on-call street repairs. And so this is in response to the council goals around public infrastructure and having the ability to do smaller projects on call as needed. And the Public Works team can give you some more information about that if you're interested. And then the Harbor Department is largely the same as in prior years, although I will say the disposal costs are anticipated to potentially increase a bit, but for the same scope of work there. And then one Harbor Patrol response vehicle is needed in 23-24, and that would be a one-time expenditure. And then the capital projects, there are five that were recommending have Q&E funding allocated towards them, and we can go into details. Our public works team can go into details about these as much as you would like. The most significant one, of course, is the annual pavement management program. And so, as I mentioned, we're doing $2.1 million total for that project. The remainder of the fund comes from state gas tax fund. Of the funding comes from state funds, and so this 1.8 would be our local funding contribution. For a total CIP contribution of 2.3, last year it was 2.5, and that was based on available fund balance at that time. It was a lot of information, and so there are two recommendations before you, as Chair Peck outlined, and you could break that up as you see fit.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Johnson-Rios? And I might suggest that because we're kind of doing this departmentally, is that rather than having them come up and then sit down, is have each department head come up for our questions on that department and then sort of work our way through there, if that's okay. Any questions for Sarah?
I have a question. You mentioned having reserves to be there in the case of an emergency, as defined by the council framework. What would be considered emergencies?
Great question. We do have a policy that outlines some of our local, some of that, and it certainly outlines when we can declare a local emergency, and we have financial planning policy that we can put in place when there is an emergency. I think typically they're contemplated for natural disasters, things like earthquakes, the major flooding and evacuations and infrastructure damages that we saw this winter. And then certainly the pandemic was a new type of emergency that caught everyone by surprise in 2020. In some communities, wildfires. Am I forgetting anything?
This year, the floods, right?
Yes, we use them for the floods. And then, if there were an unforeseen fiscal emergency, the council could consider utilizing those funds if needed. But the city has only used them recently for natural disaster and pandemic response. Thank you.
Yeah, very quickly. What reserves did we go through during the flooding that we had? Did we have to draw down on that, and how much was it?
Good question. We did. I think it was about $1.4 million that we drew down in mid-year. And so this proposed budget would put all of that back and then some to get us to that 33% of operating again.
I have a question about the flooding also. What reimbursement is being expected from FEMA, insurance, private property owners who might have benefited from city works, other sources?
Yeah, so FEMA would be, and insurance would be our primary two avenues to pursue, and we're actively pursuing both of those, and I don't yet have dollar amounts, unfortunately.